in the room. We're going to take item 12 and move it ahead because we are ahead of schedule. And after this item, we will break for lunch. So we will reconvene after lunch with item number 13. So item number 12, possession and importation of dead wildlife and transport of elk hoofs. This is a decision.
Jerry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the commission, once again, for the record, my name is Jerry Nelson. I'm the Deer and Elk Section Manager for the department. The three WACs that I'll be talking about on this agenda item that we're proposing amendment are the possession of dead wildlife WAC, the importation and retention of dead non-resident wildlife, and also the unlawful transport of elk hooves. First one we'll go through is possession of dead wildlife, and I want to remind the commission that all of the proposal includes the recommended adjustments that I'll be talking about, but also the floor changes that I'll be talking about. That's the entire proposal for adoption of this particular WAC. So why we're looking at possession of dead wildlife is the interest in salvaging vehicle-killed wildlife. We've had interest from both the public and the commission to explore the retention of vehicle-killed wildlife, and we reached out to our colleagues in states like Montana and Idaho who already have these programs in place. And they are both conducting a program that allows for salvage of animals that have been killed on highways and roads. Sort of a comparison, Montana's program allows for most of the ungulate species to be salvaged. Deer, elk, moose, and antelope, they don't do sheep and mountain goats. Idaho allows a much broader selection of animals that can be salvaged, including upland game and big game and fur bearers. Both states have a permit method. Montana, you can acquire your salvage permit from either an enforcement officer or through their online tool. Idaho has an online permit system as well. And there is a time frame for this. Montana requires that you acquire that permit within 24 hours of salvaging the animal. Idaho has a slightly different where they require notification within 24 hours and then acquisition of the permit within 72 hours. In both states, there isn't a fee associated with the salvage permit. So we conducted some outreach with WDFW staff on how we might formulate and implement a program like this. We talked to our regional personnel, worked very closely with the enforcement program and our IT staff. We had a lot of concerns raised, especially about things like safety and poaching and trespass. Our discussions and enforcement's discussions with the state wildlife agencies in Montana and Idaho, what they heard back was that initially, before their programs got off the ground, they had similar concerns, but they really haven't seen those kind of problems arising in their programs up to this point. So the proposed changes to the possession of wildlife WAC would allow possession of deer or elk accidentally killed in a vehicle collision. We would require a salvage permit within 24 hours, and it would be either available online or through one of our regional offices. We're requiring the entire carcass must be salvaged. Primary motive behind this is safety. We don't want folks field dressing or butchering animals on the side of the road. That's not going to be it's not going to be a good outcome for anybody. And then there are WACs that are in place both in the 232 wildlife area and also the Department of Health area that govern the disposal of parts and pieces that folks aren't going to be using. And then it'll take us a little bit of time to get this program up and running and ready to implement, and so we're looking for the rule to be active probably in July of this year. Our rationale behind this action is we're trying to be responsive to the public's concerns and requests. It would allow the salvage of edible meat that wouldn't otherwise be allowed. And we're trying to make this an activity that isn't overly burdensome to the people that want to participate in something like this. The vast majority of comments that we receive, especially from the public, have been fairly positive. As we initially trotted out the rule, we had a fair number of comments that requested that folks be allowed to retain the antlers on bulls and bucks. And their rationale for that was it would be an easier process if the public were able to retain. And it would. It was also pointed out, and we agree with this, is that it would require less staff resources to manage some sort of a surrender of antlers. And, of course, the storage resources could become pretty problematic if we're requiring everyone to surrender the antlers when they salvage these animals. And so when we talked about that in Moses Lake, what is now a recommended adjustment is what was formerly in Section 3C. We mentioned to you in Moses Lake and are reminding you now on this recommended adjustment that we're proposing to strike the language that used to be in subsection 3C, that folks would be required to surrender the antlers of the animals that they salvage. And another point of this is that it's not our intention to design this rule so that we're inadvertently putting people in a jam legally. We're not trying to implement a program that people are trying to do the right thing and then they get themselves in trouble. Now, one other point I want to make before I get into the floor change information is that, and I think I made this point in Moses Lake, is that we have designed this amendment to the rule to really be roadkill salvage. This is not hunting. This is completely different from hunting. And so you're not using your hunting license or your hunting tag. It's not anything like hunting. This is simply roadkill salvage, and we're trying to maintain that separation as much as possible. So this is where things get a little more interesting, and I'll ask you to follow along. We do have some floor changes for you on this particular amendment. It was brought to our attention that we do have Colombian white-tailed deer in this state. We do have four types of deer, and three of them we hunt, and one of them is a state and federally listed endangered species. And so that's not something that we want folks to be salvaging on the road for a couple of reasons. We don't; it's not legal for folks to possess those animals, but also the Fish and Wildlife Service, when they find out about a roadkill Colombian white-tailed deer, if they're able to, they like to collect those animals because they're collecting additional data and information from those animals. And so our floor change is proposing that we exclude the salvage of vehicle-killed deer in Clark, Cowlitz, and Wakayakum counties. Now, when we started working our way through this exclusion, this exception, we look very closely at the distribution, the existing distribution of Colombian white-tailed deer. We also looked at where the proposed range is for recovery of Colombian white-tailed deer, and then started looking at the roadways that were involved, any kind of really good discernible landmarks And unfortunately, working with the regional staff and working with our diversity folks and ourselves, there really weren't any good roadways or discernible landmarks that we could use to make this a smaller piece of geography. We would have preferred to do that, but there really wasn't an option to do that, and we needed something that all folks would understand and know. We couldn't use GMUs because not everybody knows GMUs, and not everybody that would be salvaging an animal would know GMUs. We didn't think townships were appropriate because not everybody would know townships. And we really didn't have any roads or rivers or that sort of thing where we could say south of this road and west of this highway or river. And so we landed on the exclusion for deer salvage in those three counties. And so I'm going to read to you what we're proposing as a floor change that would modify this rule amendment that you've seen up to this point. So on page two, all of the floor changes that I'm showing you are going to be in yellow. So on page two, what used to be subsection 3 will now become subsection 4. On page 3, there will be a new subsection 3 that reads as follows: possession of wildlife in violation of subsections 1 and 2 is punishable under RCW 7715130, 7715400, 7715410, or 7715430, depending on the species involved in the violation. This is something that we worked very closely with enforcement to develop, and the reason comes back to that separation between what is hunting and what is roadkill salvage. And so the statutes that are being referenced here in the WAC are really statutes that talk about violating hunting rules. And so those subsections 1 and 2 are really the hunting stuff. Okay? And so that's why the new subsection 3 is in there. Additional rule changes. As I mentioned, subsection 3 will now become subsection 4. And we're proposing striking the language that said on an established municipal, county, state, or federal road or highway, and simply adding after collision, after motor vehicle collision, except for any deer killed by a motor vehicle collision in Clark, Cowlitz, and Wakayakum counties. I already told you about the reason for the exclusion on those three counties. The removal of the specific language on municipal, county, and state and federal roads comes back to some of the definitions in statute that talk about roads and roadways. And so, again, working with the AG's office, working with our rules coordinator, and working with enforcement, the best option decided upon was just to say deer and elk killed by a motor vehicle collision, that's it. That also addresses the situation where we have some places in the state where there's a possibility that folks are going to hit a deer or an elk that isn't on a public road. It might be on a private road. It might be a well-maintained road that it's very possible that somebody's going to hit a deer or an elk. But that was the reason for that change. The next floor change, subsection 3D now becomes subsection 4C. And then the one after that, subsection E becomes subsection D. And we're striking or proposing to strike the language that says salvaged deer or elk must be salvaged for consumption and all waste of wildlife rules will apply. Our conversations with enforcement, they explained to us that that's really redundant, unnecessary language. And so things like reckless wastage of game meat, that's all already covered under statute. And so there's no point in having some redundant language in the WAC that isn't necessary. And so that part is already covered in statute. So we don't need that in this WAC. And then the next piece of this on page 4, where subsection F becomes subsection E, and clarifying the language on who or who may not euthanize an animal that might be injured on the side of the road. This is some additional help that we've received from our enforcement program. And so the changes being proposed will now read, only a law enforcement officer or individuals or entities authorized by the department may euthanize an animal injured in a motor vehicle collision, and that deer or elk may be taken for salvage. And the basic notion here is that we have people that it's appropriate for them to euthanize an injured animal and make that decision and do it in a safe manner, but we don't want everybody doing that. And then the last one I have for you is also on page 4. Subsection 4 becomes subsection 5. And again, this is the making the separation between referencing hunting violation statutes and statutes that would be appropriate for roadkill salvage. So the new language would read, possession of wildlife in violation of subsection 4 is punishable under RCW 15750. And with all of those floor changes, there's probably going to be some questions before I move on to the other WACs in this agenda item.
Are there questions? Commissioner Keene.
Thank you. Not really a question, just a thank you, I think. When this came up, you know, I think I brought it to the staff and our wildlife committee meeting. A lot of people have been talking to me about it. I'm sure you thought, oh, my gosh, what are these kind of commissioners going to come up with next? But it seems like a simple idea, you know, that to not waste animals that are hit along highways. And I think, as you pointed out, there was a lot of work that went into Mick and Nate and you and other staff and enforcement to get this right. So I just want to say thank you very much for the work you put in on this. I think if you had a chance to read most of the comments that came in, you know, just overwhelmingly in support of this, it's common sense. It's giving something back to the people of the state rather than just wasting it. And again, I just want to say thank you for the work you put in on this. I know when we suggested it, you probably thought, oh boy. You know, but I think it's going to be a good program, and it's well accepted by the people that I know, and I think all the comments support that too. So thank you.
Mr. Grable.
I just was wondering, in the final proposal, they need to either go online or to a regional office within 24 hours. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I was wondering about that. I noticed in Idaho, I think they had 72 hours. I was just thinking about whether everybody has access to an online service, and this happens on a Friday, they wouldn't be able to get to an office. The offices would be closed for the weekend in most cases. And I'm wondering whether or not 72 hours, I'm not sure how you determine that. There may be very good reason for that, but I just thought of that wrinkle is that a regional office may not be open.
Yeah, and I can answer that. The 24 hours we came up with modeling after both Montana and Idaho's programs. Montana requires the same 24-hour to acquire your salvage permit. Idaho does have a 24-hour requirement. It's the notification requirement. And I think there are a couple of ways for folks to do that. I don't think we're prepared to develop additional infrastructure to handle both a notification and a permitting process. We're pretty confident that we can accommodate the permitting process, and so that's why we landed on the 24 hours rather than a two-stage process. But the other two states do have a 24-hour time limit, and they didn't indicate to us that there were really any issues with that, and so we were trying to not reinvent the wheel.
Very good. That's fine. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. And I guess, first of all, to thank this guy for bringing this subject up. And there again, just echo what he said about the staff being involved and being supportive of it. In my other world, we pick up a lot of deer. And it's sad to see them go to waste. And I know our local food bank is asked about helping us if we have deer that we didn't want to. And just to see these animals not go to waste is a huge thing. There's been a lot of really good articles. There was a great one in Outdoor Life here a month or so ago about all the various states and just exactly what you said. Going into it, people had concerns, but they just didn't seem to materialize. So, again, a lot of thanks need to go around the room for making this thing happen.
Yes. Sorry. We do have a little extra time.
Just looking right and left.
Thank you. To answer Commissioner Grable's question a little further, and I talked with some of the folks in Montana as well, and the law enforcement and the biologists, and it's a choice. I mean, you're not required to stop and pick up a deer or one that you've hit. And so, you know, you make a decision. I have 24 hours to get to a computer. If I can't get to a computer in 24 hours, I better not put it in my truck. You also, I think they didn't experience very few problems with that type of a rule. And it wasn't a costly process for the department. In Montana, the legislature passed this bill and then gave it to the department and said, implement it. And they went, oh, my gosh, this is going to cost all kinds of money. It's going to be a problem. And so they went about it setting up the most simple way they could get it done and not involve more law enforcement, not involve people having to check in or get special permits for, you know, through a law enforcement officer. And they did it in a way that they were happy with. It didn't cost the department much, and we've modeled that too, I think. And yet it's still a choice. You know, if you hit a deer and it's too badly mangled to salvage any meat, you don't pick it up. But, yeah. And again, a lot of the animals that are hit and killed like this aren't driving 20 miles an hour on a logging road, you know, way far away from a computer. They're primarily major roads. When you hit something at 50 or 60 miles an hour, you know, you're not too far from a computer typically.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. I too want to express gratitude, and we actually were making floor changes to the very end last night in the Wildlife Council, and I think Commissioner Holtzmiller is to be thanked as well for identifying who could, in the rare instance that it needs to happen, euthanize an animal. And as she walks out, I'd like to acknowledge that in Spokane we've had a great fortune of partnering with the department on doing this already with the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council, whose executive director just walked out of the room. But it has been something in place in the state for a while in Spokane, and it has worked well. And I have to thank Commissioner Holtzmiller for recognizing that we needed to get these additional entities in so that program could continue as it has.
Okay, so we'll move on to the other two WACs as part of this agenda. The next one is the importation and retention of dead non-resident wildlife. The proposed changes are related to those states that have chronic waste and disease in their wild and free-ranging populations. And so we have this rule in place that talks about deer, elk, and moose that are harvested in those states, and the carcasses are brought home. And the rule requires that additional processing take place on those three types of cervid before those materials can be brought home again. And so additional processing of the meat, hides, and skulls have to take place before folks bring their deer, elk, or moose home. And so the proposal adds Michigan to the list of states and provinces that would require that additional processing. But we also have a floor change that would also add Arkansas. We were just made aware of the fact that Arkansas has had quite a number of positive detections as they continue to process and look at samples that are coming in through their past year's hunting season, and then additional sampling that the State Wildlife Agency was doing as well. And so that's our floor change as well to this rule, is that we want to also add Arkansas to the list of states and provinces that have chronic wasting disease in their wild and free-ranging deer and elk. They have elk there as well, and they have gotten positive detections for CWD on their elk, and so we want to add them to the list as well. And of course, the rationale behind this rule is that research has shown that chronic wasting disease has the ability, the infected prions have the ability to persist in the soil, even persist in plants. And the intention behind this rule when it was first developed is to just reduce the risk of CWD coming into the state of Washington. We don't want folks bringing home animals that haven't been appropriately processed, do the processing themselves, and then have scraps and trim disposed of improperly. They throw it out in the back 40 or something like that, and that would be a sort of a vector for possibly introducing the disease to our state. The proposal on the Michigan part of this would make the emergency rule from last year permanent, and also wanted to remind folks that we have done an extensive testing process throughout the state, and we're now doing targeted surveillance whenever animals look suspect. And up to this point, we've not detected CWD in the state of Washington. And then our final WAC for this agenda item is reducing the spread of hoof disease, unlawful transport of elk hooves. This rule is intended the same way, to reduce risk of spreading the causative agents, the bacteria that cause treponema-associated hoof disease, TAHD. Remind everybody that we're not talking about hoof rot. It's TAHD. Hoof rot is a completely different disease in domestic livestock. The proposed amendment helps facilitate the research that we are doing related to TAHD, and it also helps the public help us in that research. The proposed amendment was an emergency rule that we made last year, and that facilitated collecting hooves and samples from hunters that helped us out greatly. And we'll be planning on continuing to do collections in the coming year. So it makes an emergency rule permanent. The rule applies to the GMUs where we're fairly confident we have detected TAHD up to this point, so GMUs 501 through 564 and GMUs 642 through 649, but we are always looking for other new places, always sampling additional animals when we see suspect animals that may be exhibiting gross external symptoms, and getting those hooves tested as well. And then, as I mentioned, we'll try to be collecting additional hooves from hunters and ourselves in the coming year. And so with that, I can entertain any additional questions on agenda item 12 and those other two WACs.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Holtzmiller.
Thank you, Chair. Back to the importation. Is there a some place you can go, because I have the pleasure of getting to go to other states and hunt from time to time, to where a person can thoroughly understand what parameters you're working with? Because I generally like with the skulls, we skin those and steam those, but just so it's really clear for people who travel out of state to hunt.
Yes, sir. There's a website called the Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance, and that is the best source of information. All of the states provide their new and breaking news to the Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance. They post that information on their website. They have a map, and they also have detailed information for each state on what they require. And what's going on in that state. And so, for instance, when you look up Washington, if it's been updated in the last week, you'll see that our requirements, if you're going to hunt in one of those other states and bring something home, that talks about what you have to do in the state of Washington. But a state that has CWD, they're probably going to have a variety of specific rules as well. And so that information should be there as well, in addition to just contacting the State Wildlife Agency firsthand. But Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance website, that's a great one-stop shop to look at.
Thank you, Jerry. Any other questions? Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, I move to amend WAC 232-12-287, WAC 232-12-021, and WAC 232-12-286 as proposed.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Jerry. Motion carries.